Okay, this is Jasmine Timister interviewing David Southern. It is November 5th, 2021. Thank you for joining me, David. If we could start off with, you know, I'd like to ask you to share a little bit about, you know, your early life, home life, you know, maybe even how you heard about Antioch, how you chose to come to Antioch.
Sure. Early life, oddly enough, I was born in Ohio, in Canton. Moved to California in the Bay Area when I was 5 years old. And so I grew up here, went to Menlo Atherton High School, and was sort of enveloped in the culture of, you know, 60s rock and roll and the, you know, San Francisco sounds, and did my drugs in high school and what have you. And then was looking at colleges. And I think at the time there were probably three schools that had reputations as being fairly liberal, being Reed, Goddard, and Antioch. And I think I chose Antioch mostly because I liked the work study program, or the idea of going on co-op and all. And it was kind of away from home, which I thought I needed to get away from home, which was, in retrospect, maybe I didn't need to get away from home so far, but that was that. And when I showed up at Antioch, it was interesting. My preceptoral group, we had a meeting with the school psychologist, and his observation was that most of the people enrolling at Antioch had really stood out in their high schools. And when they got to Antioch, they didn't feel so special anymore. They sort of had an identity crisis. And for me, I didn't feel like I really stood out in high school so much. I was kind of a regular old student. But I think coming from the Bay Area with all of the rock and roll culture that I grew up in, you know, I was definitely an East Coaster or West Coaster. I was definitely not a Midwesterner. So from that standpoint, it felt very different being back in Ohio as that went. I think the other thing that drew me to Antioch was I liked the idea that the school treated the students as though they were adults when they got there, as opposed to feeling like they were, you know, teenagers that had to be watched over until they matured a number of years. So from that standpoint, I think I was ready to be independent. So I was happy to, you know, show up at Antioch and start my education. And I actually showed up the summer of 69. Which was Woodstock, which I didn't know anything about, but some of the people who showed up also at the same time had been to Woodstock. And it was also, the Stonewall riot, which I didn't know anything about at the time either. So
interesting time to be arriving on campus. The first main question I have here actually asks about that, asking, you know, what was it like arriving as a new student? You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that identity crisis. I've heard that from, you know, several other participants. Interesting, you know, coming from the Bay Area, kind of in more of a unique experience as well. Were you... How connected, I guess, did you feel to the Woodstock movement? Was it like, you know, were you quite invested in it, or was it just kind of happening in the background?
It kind of happened in the background, and I didn't even know about it until I got to Antioch, because I think it was a much bigger East Coast phenomenon, and, you know, people from New York went, and I didn't know anything about it. For me, it was, you know, the Grateful Dead and rock concerts out here. You know, at one point, I think I heard Timothy Leary speak at a BN in Palo Alto. So I was a different kind of thing. Just on that thing about showing up. Also, my roommate was a New York City guy who kind of shared my interest in the Grateful Dead and in psychedelics. But he didn't have a driver's license because he grew up in New York City, right? So we were very kind of similar in some ways and very diametrically opposed in other ways.
Besides, you know, the roommate situation, did you feel any kind of, you know, like feeling of like maybe this is where I belong, or maybe like, oh, this is, not what I was expecting. Any kind of thoughts or feelings about that?
No. No, it just was what it was. So I will say I started in the summer and I got homesick, which I wasn't actually expecting to have happen. But so I ended up coming back to California to do my first co-op job. And sort of as a sign of the times, one of my friend's mothers was working for Stanford University on a study of illegal drugs and drug dealing. And so my co-op job working for them was to basically go back to my old high school and interview all the drug dealers, which made for a very interesting co-op. And then I think the next time I had a co-op was, I want to say 6 months later. And I also came back to San Francisco to work at a community mental health center because I was kind of focused on psychology. And I did that job for room and board for 3 months. And then I ended up working on the Bay Area Rapid Transit System for 3 months for one of the construction companies. So it was all very interesting. When I was doing the room and board, I was up in Asbury Heights, which is close to where I live now. And I was walking to Buena Vista Park and the woman, the wife of the people I was living with, made some comment about how I should be careful about walking through the park. And I didn't relate that to anything at the time. And then later I found out that Buena Vista Park was a big cruising area, but that was not in my radar at the time. So, I guess I might also say from my Antioch experience that the last 2 years I was at Antioch, I joined Maples in the fire department and I was looking. I think one of the things that sort of unsettled me a little bit was switching dorms between divisions and not really feeling like setting your question about, did I feel like I was home or not? I felt I was very unsettled most of the time. So being part of Maples really helped sort of ground me. It was good training in fire science and, you know, first aid and things like that. But it also gave me sort of a sense of permanence there. That I found helpful later on.
That's great. Yeah. and I'd like to come back to the co-ops in the second question, but to talk about the other part of the first question, it says, Antioch College has a reputation for having one of the most radically progressive campus cultures in the country. Would you agree with that reputation with your experience on campus?
Yes. Yes. In fact, I visited a high school girlfriend when I came back here to go co-op, and she was going to Willamette University. And when I got there, I was kind of thinking I was going to have a place to stay in her dorm and stuff, which would have been perfectly fine at Antioch. But no. They had, you know, women's dorms and men dorms and, you know, screen you at the front door kind of thing. And it would have been a big to do. So it really made a contrast to me in terms of how college has treated their students.
And I guess also along with that, you know, the progressive culture, it was interesting, you know, hearing about the early 70s at Antioch, it sounds like, you know, some students did experience some overt homophobia. And so with regards to your sexuality, did you feel like it was more progressive? You know, you were coming from the Bay Area, so it's a bit different from other people's experiences, but.
I did not feel like there was a big gay presence on campus. It was pretty much invisible to me. I'm kind of talking about the whole 4 years at this point. There was one point where a professor from one of the local colleges tried to pick me up at the library, which is interesting. And we ended up having dinner at the Antioch Inn. But I never pursued that. I wasn't interested. And I wasn't really ready to deal with that part of my sexuality at the time. I think later on, I realized that there was, you know, an office in the student union that was like a gay student office. And I know when one of my fire compatriots and I were doing fire inspections, we somehow studiously avoided that particular room where we probably were in every single nook and cranny of the building otherwise. And I'm not sure what his motivation was, but mine was just, I was just nervous about that kind of thing. I think in those days, you know, it seemed like sexuality was very binary as opposed to today. And, you know, we had, well, Peter Ekstrom was a student when I was there who was doing like a drag show in Cincinnati or some places. I didn't really feel a big gay presence other than, you know, maybe Peter Ekstrom doing drag. And I had another friend who would experiment a little bit with cross-dressing, but he hadn't really identified in terms of his gender at the time. He was still, you know, male gendered. And the only other place I think I had any exposure was the theater department did Boys in the Band, one of those years that I was there. And there was one or two people that were handing out leaflets, sort of, you know, what do I want to say, sort of protesting the depiction of gay people in the play, I think. But that was my only real exposure. And other than that, my Antioch experience was pretty much with women. And even that was, I was pretty shy. So not much was happening on that front either. I did travel across country after I graduated with a girlfriend. But at some point, anyway, that being said, most of my coming out really happened when I came back to San Francisco after I graduated. So just to give you a sense, there really wasn't much of a gay presence that was obvious when I was there. There was one other person who I was pretty sure was gay, who knew, whose name now slips my mind. But he ended up, he was a dancer. So we, you know, he's graceful when he walked, kind of like you expect dancers to be. And he ended up going to New York and actually became a fairly well-known choreographer. But, you know, I sort of knew he was gay and I sort of kind of wanted to get to know him better, but somehow that never worked out. So, John Byrne was his name, and he actually rated an obituary in the New York Times. So that tells you he had some notoriety at the time later on.
I guess, I mean, it's interesting that there was an office for gay students, mm-hmm. and it was just, yeah, completely unbeknownst to at least to you. That's very interesting.
I knew the office was there. I didn't know anybody going into the office. mm-hmm. Although it turned out I did meet a couple of my contemporaries later on in San Francisco who were actually carrying on an affair when they were in Antioch. So mm-hmm. who knew?
I think that's a good segue into, you know, part of question two, which is asking about the culture of Antioch's campus again, but this time asking part of the question is, being at Antioch and even your co-ops, if you want to include those in this question, if it affected your understanding of your own gender and sexuality, or if that was before, you know, totally post-graduation.
I didn't think I've ever had a question on my gender or concern about my gender. I've always identified as, you know, basically cis male. Sexuality, you know, at Antioch, I kind of knew I was attracted to boys, but I was too shy to act on it, and I didn't, you know, have anybody that was an obvious target that I could act on it with, other than that professor from the university, which I didn't want to deal with. So it pretty much came afterwards. But I think in terms of trying to trace how Antioch might have affected me, I think there were a couple things. And maybe I'm getting into one of your later questions here. But I think that's particularly as it relates to co-op. I think eventually, you know, co-op teaches you to be independent for sure. You know, it basically, I mean, for the first couple co-ops, I was really nervous about, you know, being thrown into the middle of New York City on a co-op or something and not having a clue what to do. But once I kind of got past that point, you know, it really does teach you to be on your own and independent. I think the other thing, and this is especially, I think, affected me later on when I came back to San Francisco, was the whole idea of protest as a mechanism for social change. I mean, that kind of runs through a lot of Antioch. And it definitely became relevant to my coming out and my being in San Francisco in the 70s, when there was an awful lot of, you know, gay political activity going on. It was the kind of thing where, you know, kissing your boyfriend on a street corner was a political act in those days. And so I got very involved later on, partly through some of the gay groups in the graduate schools that I went to at San Francisco State and UC Berkeley. That became very connected to protests, the, you know, protesting various setbacks in gay rights and what have you.
I guess kind of the last component, talking about, you know, this culture on campus, and that just being in that environment, how do you think this culture affected you during your time attending the college and your life beyond? So this is kind of just more general, you know, personality, or, you know, not necessarily related to gender and sexuality.
I think it, well, one, supported being independent. Two, I think, you know, in terms of being open-minded, and I think, you know, when I think about co-op, I think one of the advantages of co-op is you go some, at least in my day, you went someplace for 3 months and then you'd go back to school and then you go someplace else for 3 months. And it was kind of like, you needed to adapt quickly, and maybe you succeeded, you know, at what you were doing, or maybe you didn't. But if you didn't, that was okay, because that was part of the learning experience. It wasn't like, you know, you failed and therefore, you know, it was bad on you kind of thing. And I think that was a really important lesson. And I think it was a good thing to learn going forward. So it was kind of like, you know, experiment, try new things. And if they work out, great. And if they don't work out, okay, so you learn something from it, and you go do something else. What else did I think? Yeah, why don't you go to the next question? I'll come back to this maybe.
No problem. Let's see. Since graduation, have you built a family and or career? And if so, do you relate these aspects of your life to your time at Antioch in any ways?
Yes. So no family. I'm married to a guy for about 3 years now, because obviously couldn't get married a long time ago, but we've been together for about 30 years. So it's been a long time. Career-wise, yeah, I can tie it back to Antioch. So I was a psychology major at Antioch, and I came out here to go to graduate school at San Francisco State in psychology. But I had taken a computer class kind of my last year at Antioch, and I really liked that. And I went to San Francisco State for 3 months in a master's program, and I didn't feel like I was being challenged academically. And so I started looking for a job. It's a very Antioch kind of story. And I found a job downtown working for an engineering company. And so I ended up working full-time and going to school part-time, and basically spent 4 years getting my master's degree. But since I was interested in computers and I didn't see a real future for where I was going with psychology, I started taking some business classes too. And in the end, I graduated, and then I matriculated at UC Berkeley and got a master's degree in finance. And that took me into my career, basically, which was working in predominantly biotechnology companies in a time when biotechnology was really just a beginning industry. And I got to follow it and watch it grow to become sort of the behemoth it is now in terms of pharmaceuticals. But that was a really interesting experience. And I think from Antioch, I mean, I had my first computer class, the fact that I switched from psychology to finance, and just that I liked going to school and it was interesting learning all these different things. I think all of that sort of stems back to sort of the attitudes that I developed at Antioch. Just as a kind of an interesting balance. I was at a American Psychological Association conference, and their lead speaker was Studs Terkel, who I don't know if you know, but he was a Chicago columnist and book writer. And he, you know, he basically was an interview person, and he interviewed a lot of like working class people and things like that. And so he was on the liberal side here. I went to a biotech finance conference, and Alfred Laffer, the economist, was their lead speaker. And he was the one that invented the Laffer curve that Ronald Reagan kind of liked. And his economist said, oh, yeah, we can, you know, basically print money. But just the contrast between those two sort of, you know, from Antioch, I can deal with that.
Interesting. Yeah. And let's see. So, you know, going into grad school and everything, you know, was that that transition, you know, away from Antioch, was that, you know, particularly, you know, strange or different or, you know, anything like that? Or was it, you know, at this point, you learned to be independent from Antioch, and it was just kind of just another challenge?
It was pretty easy. I mean, I think the whole thing about integrating work and school made, you know, going working full time and going to school part time, you know, it was just like, okay, fine, I can do this, no problem. It was interesting the extent that San Francisco State, I think I had one B, so I had A's in every other course. Berkeley, I felt like I was swimming part of the time because the students I was competing against, many of them were engineering undergraduates, many of them were business undergraduates. I had statistics pretty well nailed, but calculus, no. So it was, it took you about a year to realize at Berkeley that, you know, once you were in, they didn't really want to throw you out. But at the same time, you know, they graded in such a way where, you know, 50% of your grade was on the final that you were kind of nervous for a while that, you know, you were going to not make the grade. So, so let me come back to that. So there was a gay student union at San Francisco State. And there was, I think it was the Gay People's Union at UC Berkeley. And kind of to tie back to the protest stuff, I got much more active and much more connected to the gay community when I was going to those schools. One, I think we were a little farther down in history. And so, you know, the gay movement was starting to move a little bit faster. And two, I mean, San Francisco was sort of the epicenter for an awful lot of activity. So it was a good chance to kind of get connected. And I actually got to meet other gay people, which helps to form a community. And even at one point, and this was the early 80s, when I was pretty well entrenched with some people from UC Berkeley. And it was nice being a student up through about 79, I graduated from Berkeley. So I was still pretty close to being a student. We encountered a situation. I was running with a group of mostly gay Asians and Caucasians who liked Asians. And there was a situation where Asians are starting to get discriminated against in the bars because the reputation was, well, they don't drink as much as white people. So therefore, you know, we'd rather like keep them out of the bar. And there was a lot of prejudice anyway. And so we ended up picketing a couple of the bars in San Francisco here and took our protest to the Alice B. Tocos Club and made our, you know, whatever. So that was kind of a continuation, I think, of Antioch and wanting to, you know, protest where there was discrimination and things that we thought shouldn't be going on. So,
and you know, speaking of the 80s, I think if there is anything you'd like to share or be willing to talk about, you know, in regards to the AIDS crisis, maybe you could mention that at this point.
Oh, sure. So I think I never got very involved in like ACT UP or any of the protests related to the AIDS crisis. And I think part of the reason is, I mean, when I was in school, which was like 73 through 79, you know, it was pretty easy to go out and protest, Wichita, Kansas, you know, rescinding their gay rights initiatives and things like that. For a little while, we thought maybe, as you're watching the AIDS statistics, that maybe Asians had some kind of genetic predisposition not to catch AIDS, because it was very late getting into kind of the gay Asian community. I think now that was just obviously a sociological thing, and how they tended to be separate from, you know, the white gay males that basically got hit first. So I think it was mostly a demographic sociological thing rather than a biological thing. And so I was working full time and working a lot. And yes, I had it. I could, you know, you were definitely in that period where if you hadn't talked to somebody in 3 or 4 months, you got nervous about calling them because you didn't know whether, you know, you're going to get a disconnected phone or somebody not there. And I definitely had 2 very close friends who died of AIDS, and, you know, probably know a dozen others, mostly in the Asian community, but not entirely. And actually one of my Antioch friends who was a student when I was there passed away of AIDS, he and his boyfriend. I got a call from one of their neighbors one day, and it was a time when I was going through some really difficult times at work, because we were doing, I was running scenarios of who's going to get laid off and who wasn't going to get laid off. And, you know, there were a bunch of people in my department that I was going to end up having to lay off. And so it was a very stressful period. And I just didn't want to return the phone call, because I just had a feeling that it was not good news, and I just didn't feel emotionally capable to deal with it. So I didn't. And eventually, I found their obituaries years later when I was trying to write my memoir, and I was trying to put timelines together. But it was a very difficult time. And I think now that, I mean, looking back on it, I suppose if you're a soldier and you go to war, you have kind of the same experience that, you know, you lose people at young ages, and, you know, you either learn how to cope with it or you don't. And I just feel like at this point, you know, I've already been through that experience, and, you know, if I'm 80 or 90 and I know people are dying, it's going to be like, okay, we're just kind of repeating this process that I had to deal with, you know, a long time ago with people that should still be alive today. So, most of the political activity and stuff we were doing pretty much the 70s, I would say it's 75 to 80, 81. And when I went back to write my memoir, I was actually a little surprised at how much later the AIDS crisis kind of started taking people I knew. It was more like 83, 85, and somewhere in that area. I mean, even today, if I see people like my age on the street that I'm pretty sure are gay, it's kind of nice to see them, because there was a time period when most of the people on the street who were roughly my age or slightly older looked really bad, and you kind of knew they weren't going to last very long.
I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you for sharing about that. I wanted to make sure I ask about that, because, you know, obviously that's a very, important mm-hmm. piece of, yeah. you know, queer history. Let's see. So I think we can go on to the next question, and this one can be a bit difficult to answer. So if you don't have much of an answer, that's totally fine. It is, are there any ways in which you think your life would be different had you gone to a more typical liberal arts college?
Yeah. In a couple ways. One, I don't think I would have been as independent as I have been. Once I started working, I started to travel overseas to Asia mostly, and I would pretty much travel on my own, grab my Lonely Planet guidebooks and, you know, run off to somewhere and stay in hostels or wherever. I think maybe if I had gone to a standard liberal arts college, I probably wouldn't have been felt that independent or ability to just travel on my own and not worry about stuff much. Mostly since I was going to like gay bars and stuff when I was over in those countries anyway. So that's one. What else? Well, I don't think I would have been as politically active in my later years as I was from, you know, if I'd gone to a quote, more a typical liberal arts school. And I think that the whole co-op experience about, you know, continuously learning and not worrying about failure. There was one point where I was unemployed for about 8 or 9 months. And it was like, I could deal with it. I just go run on the beach and just keep trying to do interviews and, you know, just kept plugging at it. And, you know, eventually I got 2 offers at the same time, which was kind of ridiculous after 8 months. But I just think that, you know, those things were the result of having gone to Antioch as opposed to a, you know, other liberal arts kind of school. Yeah, I feel more unique now having gone to Antioch than I think I did attending Antioch in the first place. And as I've gotten involved with kind of the Bay Area chapter of Antioch people here, you see a lot of commonalities that I think when you just graduate or when you've been away for 20 years and aren't really connected with Antioch people, you don't really see, but you come to realize them later.
Gotcha. And yeah, you mentioned that you probably wouldn't be as politically active if you went somewhere else. Is there anything specific with your Antioch experience that you would point to connect with that as to why you think that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So my first quarter at Antioch, some Antioch students who were kind of, well, anyway, got arrested for picketing the General Electric plant in Cincinnati, some manufacturing plant GE had. And the judge held them over the weekend, I think, while they notified their parents. And, you know, we students, or at least the people talking to us students, thought that was one kind of not nice of the judge, but also just seemed like a violation of their rights to, you know, get out of jail kind of thing. And so, you know, they organized a picket line down at the Cincinnati courthouse. So I joined into that. So that was kind of my first real political thing. And I was carrying a sign that said GE is imperialist, which I pretty much had no clue what that meant at the time. And we showed up on the local TV station, which was kind of cool. But it was also starting to snow, and the police who were supposed to be watching us went inside the courthouse so they could watch us where it was warm. It was pretty funny, actually. So that was kind of the first thing. And then, I mean, this is the whole, you know, Vietnam anti-war era. So, you know, there were, I mean, at one point we tried to shut down Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and that's when I was in Maples. And so we went along as sort of the, you know, first aid people in case something happened that somebody needed, you know, ambulance work for. And on co-ops and stuff, if I was back here, you know, I got involved in some of the marches for anti-war marches. So I would say that was sort of the beginning for my thinking that protest was actually something that might work and was at least helped me feel better anyway.
Very interesting. Yeah, I know plenty of my classmates I know weren't politically active whatsoever before coming to Antioch. So seems like that might still be a bit of a tradition. All right. I think we've covered everything up to the last question. And I think it's a good question to close out. So What we could do is, if there's anything else that you haven't gotten to talk about that you would like to, with, you know, any part of your life, then I think feel free to do so. And then we can get to the last question, unless you're ready to do the last question now.
I think I'm ready to do the last question, and I think that also I wanted to elaborate on anyway, so.
Okay, sounds good. So the last question is there any message that you would give to the current and future students of Antioch if you could, and any message for the current and future LGBTQ plus youth in general?
Okay, so let me start with the first one. So I've been doing a lot of kind of research about what the future of work looks like and what effect that, you know, artificial intelligence and all, as it gets integrated into the workplace, might have on, you know, employees, workers, whatever. So I think for advice for students going forward, I would say focus on the things that computers aren't going to be able to do, which are areas of like communication and, you know, work on your communication skills, creativity, because computers have a hard time thinking out of the box. I mean, they can do amazing things in terms of pattern recognition and things, but they're not really creative. Problem solving and critical thinking. And I think those are the kind of things that you learn at Antioch. So for me, you know, at least looking forward, the kind of education students get at Antioch is appropriate to the kind of workplace that they can expect to see going forward. So now on the LGBTQ piece, if I look at my history, I can see that, when I got to Antioch, I knew I was attracted to boys. My history at Antioch was mostly with women. When I got back to San Francisco and I finally kind of managed to work my way out of the closet, I pretty much had about a 20-year period where I was pretty much exclusively attracted to men. And then one time I just met this woman who kind of knocked me over the head sideways. And so it made me really kind of question. And I think, you know, I talk about binary world. I think when I was at Antioch and for many years, people approached sexuality as a binary question. And even in the gay world, it was like, well, you know, you can't be bi because you're just pretending you're not gay kind of thing. And so people were really slotted into a few categories. So I am sort of kind of coming out again now, just thinking that, you know, it's legitimate to be bisexual, that I'm beginning to see a movement within LGBTQ that is inclusive, that, you know, pretty much opens a range of possibilities to people, which makes a lot more sense than, you know, the kind of binary pieces we were pushed into before. So my message is more of a, I think, thanks to the current generation who are thinking much more inclusively about how they can approach the world, you know, whether it's gender or whether it's sexuality, and that it opens up a lot more possibilities. And to me, that's a good thing to see. And I'm thankful that it's happening. I know it's sort of built on the work that was done before, sure, of course. But at the same time, it's much more expansive, and I think it's much more appropriate. And I'm glad to see that I'm feeling re-included again.